Your agency might have an innovation problem if legacy systems are keeping your chief information officer up at night. David Bray is the CIO at the Federal Communications Commission, and he oversees an IT infrastructure that he's in the process of upgrading. David, it's terrific to have you on the program. And we were chatting a little bit before we went on the air about the fact that you and I were down at the Management of Change Conference, and it was a real pleasure to have you involved in the track that I moderated on Monday at MOC. But going and doing those things is terrific, and we learned a lot, I think, and the challenge then becomes, how do you and how do your colleagues and how do the other folks that were there actually bring the stuff that we learned back to Washington and accomplish something with it instead of just the continuous navel-gazing process, David?
Yes, that's a great question, Francis, and I think the challenge is you need to focus on substantive progress that you can make moving forward, and I personally espouse sort of three ideas for the team. The first is, what autonomy can I give the employees in my organization so that they can actually feel like they actually have autonomy to solve problems in a specific space with creativity? The second thing is, what can be actually that sort of measurable progress that they can see? Because the studies show that if you can actually see measurable progress, that helps both the person that's trying to be the innovator as well as other people that are trying to influence and actually bring along for that innovation. And then the third is it a hard issue? Is it a hard problem? Because people like challenges. And the good news is, at least in public service, we have no shortage of hard issues or hard challenges to take on.
Yeah, let's take those in reverse order, and that'd be my comment on that too, is that's one of the great things about being in government. You're never going to run out of those.
Yes, exactly. There's no shortage. And then here at the FCC, we have about 207 systems back in 2012. Of those 207 systems, more than 40% were more than 10 years old, so they're now probably about 12 years or older. And so what we're trying to do is we're actually trying to bring in employees, both existing as well as new employees, and also parachute in some interesting contractors from Silicon Valley that are coming on short-term engagements for upwards of, say, 6 to 12 months, that can really just bring in a new idea, a new fresh perspective of looking at these. And we've defined seven tracks that we actually want to modernize to move the FCC forward. And so with that, the team sort of identifies hard problems, they come up with solutions, they lay out the roadmap, they propose it both to the programmatic side, make sure the programmatic side signs on. I sign on as the CIO in terms of just making sure the IT integrity is there. And then we sort of operate like a startup in terms of moving things forward. And so it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of energy that I actually get from the team.
I want to come back to the other two points on your list, but I want to detour there for just a second. When you have that quantity of modernization issues to look at, and you talked about this when you were on Ask the CIO with my colleague Jason Miller back in January. That program's archived at federalnewsradio.com. You can just search on David Bray's name, and it will come up. But when you have that quantity, is the prioritization process obvious as you look at the what each mission function each of these systems does, or is there a sort-through process that gets pretty complex?
It gets complex, and what we try to do is we try to embed IT liaisons, entrepreneurs in each of the different bureaus and offices to truly understand the business of each of the different bureaus and offices at the FCC. And then when we come together and look across it, what we're really trying to work towards as a vision is that we don't need to have 207 different systems. What we ideally want to work towards is 207 different instantiations of processes on a similar database, on a similar sort of reusable modular code with different user interfaces as appropriate. But I'd like to be able to say in about 2 to 3 years from now that we don't have 207 different systems. Instead, we have 207 different processes that we can adjust and modify with speed as necessary for the bureaus and offices.
You used a term there, David, and you kind of blew past it because I know you use it a lot, but not everybody's familiar with it, and that's intrapreneurs with I-N at the beginning, not E-N. What's that mean?
Yep. So entrepreneurs to me means you actually have sort of a you have a willingness to take interesting new challenges on, take risk with it, and I will assume the risk. I'm serving as a flak jacket, and actually to try new things. It's, again, the sort of the mantra that our chairman says of the FCC, which says, you know, saying it's how we did it last year is just an excuse for not thinking. And so I'm really trying to look for creative problem solvers with entrepreneurs. And while we never will have an IPO in government, we will have the opportunity for a positive impact, so a reverse IPO or an OPI. And so I'm looking for people with that energy. And the good news is that energy becomes sort of, in a way, infectious, and it becomes a vibe to the entire team feels. And from that, you have this sort of motivating, self-perpetuating sort of creative problem solvers that are building off each other in terms of what they're trying to do to change the organization.
Okay, and you've told me another element of that, David, is the measurable progress thing that we talked about a moment ago when you were ticking off your list.
Yes, and so I think that what we've done there is for our seven tracks that we've actually put in the blog that we put on the FCC for what we actually want to do to modernize the FCC, we actually have defined three measurable goals for each one of them of things that we actually hope to achieve by the end of this fiscal year, which we'll then update as we go forward for the next fiscal year. Hopefully we'll get the fuel and we'll have the ability to actually do more than what we've already done with the funds that we had for fiscal year 14, and so that people can actually see where we're at and see where we're going and make sure that we're actually moving with the speed that we need to, or as our chairman likes to say, we're moving with dispatch.
That's a cool term. That sounds like kind of a historic term, like people would have used in another time, and that's neat. I like that.
That's our goal. I mean, again, the FCC being an 80-year-old organization, it's got an amazing history, and what we're just trying to do is recognize that history and still prepare it for the 21st century going forward.
David Braze, the Chief Information Officer at the Federal Communications Commission. The last item on your list of three was, you termed it, what autonomy can I give people? And I would expand on that maybe a little bit based on the descriptions I've heard you give of that before. And that is, you give latitude and you give leeway and you give people what is very rare in government, which is the opportunity to try and fail quickly. And you encourage that at the FCC, don't you?
I do. And in fact, I think it's a necessary part of as we try to figure out this rapidly moving technology space. Just from the FCC's own example, there were 7 billion network devices on the face of the planet in 2013. Within less than 2 years, there'll be 14 billion. Within 6 years, there'll be anywhere between 50 and 75 billion. And so we can't approach things in a linear process. We definitely have to try new ways and new things in terms of approaching it. And there's several cases where the textbook hasn't been written yet on how to do this right. And so I see my role as Chief Information Officer is to be two things. One is digital diplomat, and the other one is Chief Human Flak Jacket. And so that way that allows people to try new things out, learn from them, move forward. I often say there's not failure, there's learning from things and then adjusting and moving forward. That allows people to actually try and figure out this new technology space as we move forward together.
That's the old Thomas Edison saying, or at least it's attributed to him when he invented the light bulb after failing supposedly 999 ways. And he said, no, I haven't failed. I just figured out 999 ways that didn't work.
Exactly. And I think that's necessary as well when we're trying to figure out the IT space. There's some things that are fairly rudimentary, but that the reality is we've already done those things. We're now trying to plow forward in a new space so we can actually lead the way, not just for the FCC, but for public service as a whole. And for that thing, we actually need to give people permission and the autonomy to actually try and move forward and take on new challenges.
And where in your priority list there does that flexibility fit in? As you mentioned, the textbook hasn't been written on a lot of the things that you're trying to accomplish.
For me, it's actually number one. I think it's actually what brings the right people to the FCC, is if they feel like they can actually take on new things and do things that haven't been done before, and they have the freedom to actually sort of have a vision, put it down on paper, share it with people, socialize it, get them to buy into it and move it forward. I think the right IT people come forward when they actually feel like they can make a difference and they have the ability to move forward on a vision of their own. And at the same time, it's also humility on my part as CIO that says, I will be your leader, I will be your flak jacket, but I also recognize I don't have all the answers. I may have blind spots. I like it when people point out those blind spots to me and help inform me on the way to move forward together.
You used a word when we talked about this down at MOC that I don't think I've ever heard a federal leader use before, and that's the word joy. And you used it in a number of different contexts, and you used it a couple of different ways. Why is that word so important in describing different facets of how you work, David?
Again, it's part of the team we're trying to create. So obviously, I've parachuted into the FCC. The average time that someone's been at the FCC is about 15 and a half years. And so me approaching 10 months, I'm still going to be the new person for quite a while. But one of the things that I like to do when I do meet with different people, whether they're on my IT team or whether on the programmatic side and as a stakeholder in what we do, I like to ask them what brings them joy. Because I think people choose public service for a purpose. We all have a reason why we came here. It's bigger than ourselves. We found some joy in it. And if we can re-identify with that and connect to that, there's more than enough work to be done. And that itself can become an intrinsic motivator to find new ways to take on these challenges together as a team.
Okay, we've talked a lot about the conceptual things and how important they are. And let's take it back to where we started this conversation, which is you've got these in place. How do you use these concepts and how do you use the benefits that you've given your team to attack that 200 and some whatever systems that you have so that when we talk about this 2 years or 3 years from now, you've gotten it down the way that you want it to get down?
Right. So The way we're approaching it systematically is we're engaging the different bureaus and offices and actually asking them to storyboard how they want to operate going forward, because it may be that they're tied to systems that are 12, 15, 17 years old even, and so they've had legacy processes that may not have been as effective or efficient, and if we can change how they do their processes, we're going to see huge amounts of cost savings just because they're no longer going to have to do it manually, they're no longer going to have to do it on paper. At the same time, the technology team is looking at how can we actually move our databases so they're no longer 207 different databases, but it's actually in a data mart, ideally stored in the cloud. And so we can begin to move our databases to the cloud in that instance, and then begin to be able to do code and reusable user interfaces on top of that. And so at the programmatic end, they have their vision as how they want to change their processes. We're not calling it business process reengineering, but it is that, but really just doing it in terms of storyboards. Behind the scenes, we're doing the technology, and we can actually share those storyboards with industry, because in some cases, it's not going to be an answer that we're going to do here at FCC, but we can actually ask industry consortiums and say, does anyone have a way that we can do this and still do this with security and still protect privacy, and see what they say.
Okay, and that makes a lot of sense, because you're getting then the back part of that description was what I was thinking about at the beginning part of your description when you're talking about, well, if we can just change the way they do their processes, and I'm imagining people holding on to their processes for dear life, going, you can't change that. That's the way I've been doing my job for the past however long.
Right. You definitely have to let them in the driver's seat in terms of how they want to change how they work. And part of it, I often say, is technology is showing the art of the possible. And so with IT, we're showing the art of the possible, but we're also being very specific when we look at our modernization objectives. They're tied to the mission, because at the end of the day, what really matters is, are we advancing the mission of the FCC and public service at large going forward?